NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system used by over 28,000 growing businesses. Head to netsuite.com/wallstreet for a special one-of-a-kind financing offer. netsuite.com/wallstreet, netsuite.com/wallstreet.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, May 17th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Over the weekend, a mass shooting took place at a grocery store in Buffalo, New York. The gunman killed 10 people and wounded 3 others. Nearly all the victims were Black, and authorities are investigating it as a racially motivated hate crime. The incident shares a number of commonalities with other mass shootings, but one in particular stood out to us: the use of streaming services to broadcast the attack. On today's show, our reporter Georgia Wells joins us to discuss how social media has been used in these sorts of attacks and how the platforms are responding. That's after these headlines. A bill to boost U.S. competitiveness against China is facing hurdles in Congress, and disagreements over the legislation are raising questions about what the final bill will look like. The sweeping package includes expanding federal investment in high-tech research, like quantum computing, and dedicating $52 billion in new subsidies for U.S. semiconductor manufacturing. But lawmakers are at odds over certain points. For instance, national security reviews of outbound U.S. foreign investment, waivers of tariffs on certain Chinese imports, and curbs on the sale of counterfeit goods online. Netflix is letting employees know they need to be prepared to work on content they may not agree with, or they can quit. The streaming giant has updated its cultural guidelines with a section called Artistic Expression. It details how the company offers an array of programming for many audiences and wants users to choose programming for themselves and not have Netflix, quote, censor specific artists or voices. A spokesman said the company spent the past 18 months discussing cultural issues before updating the guidelines for the first time since 2017. He says the new language was added to help prospective employees decide if Netflix was the right company for them. Netflix came under fire last year by employees, shareholders, and politicians for running a comedy special by Dave Chappelle, which sparked criticism for remarks about transgender people that some found offensive. The electric vehicle maker Rivian is suing a supplier of car seats over a pricing dispute. Rivian alleges the supplier, Commercial Vehicle Group, violated its contract by doubling what it charges for its seats. Commercial Vehicle Group denies the claims, saying it only raised its prices after Rivian submitted multiple engineering and design changes. The dispute could impact production of an order of 100,000 electric vans by Amazon. Rivian said it may be forced to shut down production of that line for over a year if it has to find a new vendor. Our autos reporter Ryan Felton says the dispute comes at a sensitive time for Rivian.
So Rivian's stock price has been kind of on a tailspin since its initial public offering last fall. As of Friday's close, it's fallen about 75% since the start of the year. And that's been attributed to a number of things, you know, in part being trouble getting parts, you know, which is a common thread across the whole industry. And also that it had cut its expected production guidance for the year in half. And another setback, if this were to become a firm thing that they could not reach an agreement with this company, it could, for the company's prospects going forward, it could just sort of hurt their financial picture even more.
And fancy hopping around the Hawaiian Islands in a battery-powered boat-plane hybrid? Hawaiian Airlines says it's investing in the startup Regent, which is developing 100-seat electric sea gliders that cruise above the waves on a cushion of air. Short flights between the islands are a major source of business for Hawaiian Airlines, but it's also facing pressure to reduce greenhouse gases. Hawaiian hasn't placed an order for the low-emission aircraft, but says its investment will give it a role in designing the vehicles. Regent hopes the sea gliders will enter commercial service by 2028. All right, coming up, the internet can be a good place to spread a message. But what about when it's used to spread conspiracies or stream violent acts? We'll discuss after the break.
The world's best-run companies count on GEP software and services to transform their supply chains, meet their biggest challenges, and gain serious competitive advantage. GEP.com.
A mass shooting in Buffalo, New York on Saturday took the lives of 10 people and wounded 3 others. The early part of the attack was broadcast live on Amazon's streaming service Twitch before the service took it down. This is not the first time real-life violence has been live-streamed over the internet, but it's renewing questions about how the platforms can avoid being used by criminals and extremists. Joining us to discuss this is WSJ reporter Georgia Wells. Hi, Georgia. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's start off with what was broadcast on Twitch and how the platform reacted.
So the suspect in the Buffalo shootings logged onto Twitch and live streamed himself shooting several people in the grocery store before the platform took it down. Twitch took down the live stream after less than 2 minutes, but then, you know, users who had viewed it continued to reshare that video on Facebook and Twitter and other darker corners of the internet. A Twitch spokeswoman said in an emailed statement that the alleged Buffalo shooter has been indefinitely suspended and that Twitch has been monitoring the platform for any rebroadcastings. And she said the company has a zero-tolerance policy against violence of any kind and works swiftly to respond to all incidents.
Another video of the gunman at the store has circulated on Facebook and Twitter and other online platforms the day after the shooting. How have these companies reacted?
So Facebook and Twitter typically don't allow these types of videos to circulate. And indeed, they have been removing these videos as they crop up and as they appear. There are other corners of the internet, other websites that don't tend to remove violent content. And so those are some of the places where we've seen people kind of reposting the video of this shooting. And many of these people on those sites hope for others to bring these videos back onto Facebook and Twitter. Both Facebook and Twitter have tech that they use to attempt to identify these videos as fast as possible when they appear, but sometimes the users find ways to modify the videos that make it kind of easier for the video to evade their content moderation programs. And so they also rely on humans to look for them.
You know, of course, Georgia, this sadly isn't the first time that we've seen an incident like this broadcast over a streaming platform. I mean, can you tell us about some of the other incidents where this has happened?
Yeah, one of the most prominent examples was the Christchurch shooting in New Zealand in 2019, and that was when a shooter killed 51 people at a mosque. And in that instance, the shooter also live-streamed the video, and he shared it to Facebook Live, and it remained on Facebook Live for nearly an hour before the company caught it and removed it. And in that instance, that amount of time, I mean, just there were way more copies of the video floating across Facebook and Twitter and other social sites before they had a more of a chance to remove them.
So an hour is a long time. Twitch says it removed the video of the Buffalo shooting in less than 2 minutes. I mean, among the platforms, have they gotten better at flagging this content, or are they just more aware that they need to address it?
So I don't know in this instance how Twitch first became aware of the video, but in general, the platforms are investing in this tech in order to identify videos that could be violent events, including shootings. The idea is their tech can identify and remove them faster than a human can come across them in their queue. And so they're investing in this technology, but still there's a challenge here that a lot of video content kind of looks or sounds like something that it isn't. So it's a really serious challenge for the companies to identify these videos. The Christchurch shooting really put this on the map, though, of the types of violent events that the companies were going to prioritize trying to remove from their platforms before they went viral.
Are there any proactive measures that they can take to try and make sure this type of incident doesn't go up on their sites in the first place?
Our understanding is YouTube requires users to have a certain number of followers or to be confirmed before they start sharing live stream videos. And so that's a level of friction that can make it harder for the people who are looking to live stream violent events.
But I guess, you know, these platforms added live streaming. Twitch is really, you know, all live streaming. They want people to be connecting and using this. So how do they balance out that desire with, you know, the reality that this sometimes can happen and violent events can get put up?
So Twitch, like these other companies, saw a business opportunity in giving people the ability to live stream content. And it turns out that there exist some people who really appear to want to live stream violent events. And yes, they're working on ways to proactively detect violent content before it goes viral, but every second counts when they're trying to remove this content. And it's the companies have a really hard time identifying really violent content extremely quickly. And so, you know, 2 minutes, although that's so much faster than the Christchurch shooting was detected by Facebook, 2 minutes still is enough time for other users to see this content, download it, tweak it, and share it.
I mean, you talk about other users making copies of it. What kind of game of whack-a-mole does that create for these platforms when they're trying to take down the next level of reposts of this type of violent content?
Well, it's a really challenging game of whack-a-mole for these companies, in part because some of the sharing and editing of the videos happens on other platforms. So, like, yes, this video was originally uploaded to Twitch, but then in other kind of more extremist websites on the internet, that's where you see people taking that Twitch video, uploading it there, editing it there, and then putting out a call to other users to kind of try and share it. And so it's like this kind of behavior that's hopping across different platforms, I think, is part of what's really exacerbating the challenge for these tech companies.
This isn't just about streaming of violent incidents. It's also about the information about conspiracy theories that fuel some of these attacks. Do we know anything about the role that the online platforms played in with this alleged shooter in Buffalo and kind of how the companies are addressing that now?
Yeah, so this alleged shooter in Buffalo, he uploaded a document that explained kind of how he reached his beliefs. And he said that during the pandemic in 2020, when he was really bored, he started browsing this website called 4chan. And 4chan is notorious for having very few rules around the types of content that users are allowed to post. And on 4chan, he wrote, he turns to the pages that are about guns and the outdoors. And he eventually wound up on this page known as PAUL, short for Politically Incorrect. And that page is filled with kind of infographics and memes that promote white supremacy and other hateful ideas. And in particular, in the document, we see him focusing on this conspiracy theory that underlies a lot of the white supremacist content you find on these sites. And the conspiracy theory is called the Great Replacement. And it states that kind of there's a network of elites and they're involved in kind of the demise of the white race and other races kind of filling that void.
You know, he's coming across these conspiracy theories on platforms that don't really have rules on what you can say and what you can't say. But more of the mainstream platforms, they are dealing with this debate about what content is allowed on their platforms. How are incidents like this shaping how they think about that, particularly as more and more people say there should be less limits and we should open this up to free speech?
So over the years, Twitter and other platforms have added rules that kind of prohibit users from talking about groups of people or races or kind of other categories in ways that like dehumanize them as a group. And so like you see the platforms kind of grappling with content that fuels a lot of white supremacy. Often though, when that type of content doesn't include explicit calls for violence, is when we see the companies kind of allowing certain content to remain. Broadly, for years, the social media companies have been trying to formulate rules to reduce the content that is viewed as like gateway information to some of these more sinister and violent conspiracies, especially ones that have their roots in white supremacy. But we're also at this moment in time when there's a really huge debate happening in our country about kind of the future of social media platforms and how much content they should be removing from their platforms.
All right, that was our reporter, Georgia Wells. Thanks for joining us, Georgia.
Thank you, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.